Let's stand and worship together.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love. You're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. So bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, and still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. I will worship your holy name. I will worship your holy name.
Good morning. Good morning. Have a seat. Glad you are here to worship with us here at First Baptist Church of Lake Jackson. My name is Brad Dawson. I'm the associate pastor, and I have the fun part where I get to come up here and say hi and good morning, and you get to do the same, right?
Hi, good morning.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. We do want to welcome you, especially our visitors. It's so good to see some new faces around here. We pray that you are blessed by the things that are going on around here, and maybe you haven't had a chance to get plugged in yet, but we'd love to share a few things with you in the days to come, tell you about what happens all week long, all throughout the summer, lots of ministries that are going on where people are serving the Lord each and every day. And we want to encourage you, there's a little card that looks like this. It's a blue Get Connected card. If you'll fill that out or scan that on your phone and fill it out on your phone, tell us a little bit about yourself. We promise to follow up and tell you more about all of those things and where your family can get plugged in here at First Baptist Church. There's been a lot of things going on. Of course, it's summertime, and we've already had children's camp. There's a summer camp. The youth summer camp is coming up very soon. I believe we're starting a pickleball tournament, a league, an open recreation league. That starts like Tuesday, right? And if you have more questions about that, you're like going, really? We're doing pickleball? Ask the pastor. He'll tell you all about it. I know he'll be happy to tell you about it. We also had a college retreat this weekend that I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. I just realized I didn't tell you what to do about this card right here before I go on to that. If you are visiting with us and you filled out that card, just leave it right there in the seat where you are. You can put it in the boxes at the door, and you can turn that in that way. So back to what I was telling you about the college retreat. We had, I think, 25 or more kids out at the beach this weekend for a college retreat weekend, and we know they had a wonderful time. Lord really worked through that, and we are actually going to invite Austin Alexander to come up and give us a little review. And Austin, what I'm asking you to do is you come up. When you get through with your review and telling us what's going on, would you lead us in prayer this morning? All right. Y'all welcome, Brother Austin.
Good morning. Good morning. It was a great weekend. This weekend we were out at the beach, something that we do often. Living in Lake Jackson, we go to the beach and have fun. And it's always really nice to go and make it about the Lord. It's like, wait, I can do this? I can go to the beach and make it all about the Lord. It was really nice. We had 25 students, some had just graduated, some that have been in college for a while, some that are in their careers. The whole theme, chartered by Peter and Rosie, was what consumes you. We are using a passage in Matthew 7. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So that was like our theme verse. It's a heavy verse. It's kind of scary. But we had the whole weekend to contemplate what consumes me to the point of, you know, when we meet Jesus face to face, is he going to say to me, yeah, my faithful servant, or is he going to say, I don't know you? And what is the things that maybe are hindering us from pursuing the Lord to the best of our ability? So we kind of had this question, but then we had the whole day to have fun and play beach volleyball and be on the sand and surf and do fun things. But all like this question kind of looming of like, okay, what consumes me as I'm doing things I do often, like beach volleyball? And then the night ended with Bo and Hunter leading us in worship, and we had like a awesome discussion of what consumes us and really practical questions from like Faith Simmons. She was like, we'd said something that might consume us, and she's like, okay, cool. What next? Now that we've identified it, and I was like, okay, that's a really good question. What next? Now that we identify the idols in our life, where do we go from there, like practically, to like defeat them and to make Jesus our idol, which is a really cool thing to think about. So it was a wonderful weekend. It was very restful and fun to take 2 days to make it about the Lord before we go back to work, which is weird. As a college student, it's like, we have to work now. It's hard, so props to adults for working. That's awesome. So really, really thankful for the weekend, for a space to pursue the Lord and be, like, focused on him, but also, like, rest and be at the beach. So it was awesome. Now I can lead us in prayer before we start back with worship. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We are so thankful for another Sunday just to hear from your word, another Sunday to worship you in the corporate setting of the church, God. I pray for the rest of this morning that it continue to be all about you, God. For the question that we heard at the college retreat of what consumes you, God, if that is something that someone needed to hear this morning, I pray that be just in their heart as they leave today, really questioning what are idols in our life that are consuming us and hindering us from pursuing you. God, I pray that be something that the college students remembers as we go through this next week, and whoever in here might need to hear that. And as we enter back into worship, I pray you fill this room and just continue to make this all about you. Amen. I'm assuming y'all can stand.
Well, go ahead, stand. I like that. That's proactive worship right there. Like Austin said, I had the opportunity to go with Hunter and lead worship at the college retreat this week. And before that, this week, I got to do kids camp and lead worship at that. And so what consumed me this week was worship and work, but there's nothing better to be consumed by than the Spirit of God, am I right? And while I was at college retreat, God never ceases to amaze me. Those kids and at kids camp, they just sing with all their hearts, worshiping out loud, living innocence and beauty. And it got me thinking about miracles. And how we fail to see them sometimes. And this week, a miracle for me was just a little stupid and silly. But I've been fishing with my dad a lot of times. And a lot of times we don't catch much. Because we're fishermen, not catchermen. And while I was sitting at college retreat, he sends me a text message of a 45-pound black drum. And I thought, man, that's got to be the biggest fish he's ever caught. Definitely bigger than anything I've caught. And what's the most amazing thing about it is when I saw him this morning, he comes every Sunday to watch me rehearse with the guys and the girls. And I said, Dad, what'd you catch him on? He said, Son, I foul hooked him. So if that's not proof there's a God that loves us, I don't know what is. But he released the fish back on his good graces. But he had a picture and a story to tell me. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to do that with our dads. So we're going to worship God today, just like he's our dad, just like he's right here with us, because he is.
There's a place for me. I'm a child.
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh God, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh God, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up. Yeah. unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, 'cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name. 'Cause I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, 'cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 oh. You split the sea so I could walk. Rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God, 'cause I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You guys be seated.
You have your Bibles, if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We are continuing our study of the Gospel of Matthew. And in particular, we are in the Beatitudes right now, Matthew chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John says, I write these things to you who believe, so that you will know that you have eternal life. John writes this letter to Christians, to followers of Christ who may be struggling with the certainty of their salvation. They may be struggling with doubts about whether or not they have eternal life. And John says that things like, we have come to know him if we obey his commands. John says that if we are a follower of Christ, that we will love those around us. John says that a Christian has the Spirit of God within him. John says that a follower of Christ tries to put to death sin in their life. It is a great passage for those who are maybe struggling with the certainty of their salvation. Well, likewise, the Beatitudes is also another great passage that really can help us to know if we have eternal life. The Beatitudes are the words of Jesus Christ, and in the Beatitudes, Jesus is giving us characteristics of a believer, characteristics of a follower of Christ. He is helping us to see what it means to be a new creation. And Jesus says things like, a follower of Christ is poor in spirit. A Christian is one who mourns and grieves over sin. A Christian is someone who is meek, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. A follower of Christ is merciful. A Christian is someone who is pure in heart. And he goes on in these Beatitudes to say, if you possess this characteristic, he says, then yours is the kingdom of heaven. He says, you will inherit the earth. You will one day see God. And so the Beatitudes, like 1 John, they are a great passage to help us to understand what it really means to be a follower of Christ. And I don't know if you have thought this over the last several weeks, but these characteristics are tough. In fact, I'd rather just go to 1 John and say, I'm working on obedience and keep it at that. I'd rather just go to 1 John and say that I'm trying to love those around me. But in the Beatitudes, Jesus gets specific. And he calls us to a radically different lifestyle than we see in the world around us. Well, today it doesn't get any easier. The beatitude that we're going to look at, that we're going to add to the list, is a very difficult one. So if you have your Bibles open, let's just read the Beatitudes together, beginning with verse 3. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then today, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You see, the reality for many of us today is that maybe for many of us, if not all of us in this room, we are at odds with someone. In other words, there is hostility in a relationship with someone else. We don't have peace in a relationship. And that could be a lack of peace with a neighbor. It could be a lack of peace with a coworker, a lack of peace with a friend, a lack of peace with a family member, a lack of peace with your spouse. The reality is today, as we are gathered in this space, and we are hearing the words of Jesus, and Jesus is saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Jesus is speaking into a space that maybe many of us can relate to today. Jesus is calling those of us who claim to be followers of Christ. He is calling those of us who say we are children of God, those of us who claim to be sons of God, to make peace with others. And by the way, this isn't surprising. It's not surprising because we know that God is a God of peace. By the way, just for a second, keep your place in Matthew, but turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Paul says in his letter to Thessalonica, he says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul says, "May God himself, the God of peace." We know that God is a God of peace, and we see in the Bible that the Bible begins with peace in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible ends with peace in the new heaven and the new earth. But as we all know in this room, sin destroyed the peace that God established in the garden. And because of sin, man was separated from the holy God. Because of sin, man was God's enemy. Because of sin, there was this hostility between man and God, and there was a division or a break or a separation of relationship. But the God of peace sent into this world the Prince of Peace, Jesus, to die on a cross to make peace with God possible. Are you thankful for that today? We see that in Romans 5:1. It says that through Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God. We see in Philippians 4 that when we are anxious, we go to God in prayer, and there is a peace from God that transcends understanding that can guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when we hear the words of Jesus today that he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God," that shouldn't surprise us, because we see peace throughout the Word of God. We know God is a God of peace, and that he sent his Son to establish peace. One commentator said it like this. He said, "There is no more God-like work to be done in this world than peacemaking." In other words, there is nothing we can do in this world that more resembles God than making peace with those around us. So as we hear the words of Christ this morning, the question arises, I would think, for all of us, what exactly does it mean to be a peacemaker? What does it really mean to make peace? Well, if you're taking notes, if you want to write this down, the purpose of a peacemaker, or you might say it, the goal of peacemaking, is the reconciliation of a relationship. A peacemaker is one who tries to end hostilities in a relationship. A peacemaker is one who tries to establish harmony and love in a relationship. A peacemaker is someone who pursues the restoration of a broken relationship. In fact, just like Christ, who reconciled us to God, we are to be peacemakers just like our example and model that we see in Christ. And I want you to let that sink in for a moment. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. And he says, those who make peace will be called sons of God. Those who make peace are true followers of Christ. Those who make peace are the children of God. Then you may say, okay, well, I understand what a peacemaker is, but how do I do that? How do I make peace with those around me? How do I reconcile with an enemy? How do I end hostilities? How do I bridge the gap? How do I pursue someone who doesn't want to have anything to do with me? John Piper, I love, he is a great pastor and theologian, one of my favorites, and he said it like this: peacemaking is done by acts of love that overcome hostility. In other words, peacemaking is this effort that we engage in, this initiative where we begin to love those around us that we are at odds with. We begin to love those around us that we have a difference with. We begin to love those around us where there's this hostility in a relationship, and we begin to do it by these simple acts of love that begin to overcome the hostility. Acts of love that overcome the hostility. And of course, as we think about that and as our minds begin to think of ways that we can love those that we are at odds with, we know the greatest act of love ever is the act of Jesus' death upon the cross. That as we think about what Jesus did on this cross, the God of peace sent the Prince of Peace into this world to die on the cross to make peace with God possible. And the cross is the representation, I think, a physical representation of what peacemaking really is. And so if we look at the cross as an example, then we understand that peacemaking, when we enter into these acts of love, that peacemaking will most likely be costly. That peacemaking may involve sacrifice, just like Jesus on the cross. And without any doubt, peacemaking requires a selfless attitude. One commentator said this, and this really stood out to me. He said, "But when self is first, peace is last." In other words, if you want to be a peacemaker, if you want to engage in the reconciling of relationships, then you have to understand that if you put yourself first, then peace will be last. And so I would say to you that yes, peacemaking is about acts of love, but the key to peacemaking is a belief that your enemy, that the one that you are estranged from, the one that you are at odds with, the one that there is hostility between, you have to have this belief that that person, no matter who they are, is greater than yourself. You have to believe that this person is greater than the grievance that you have between you. This person is greater than the offense that exists between you. In order to make peace, you have to put self down and make peace a priority. And by the way, that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to lay down offenses. It's hard to lay down grievances. It's hard to not think about this has happened over and over and over and over. It's so hard to be willing to set all of that down and to have the heart and the mind of Christ and to say, this person is a child of God. This person is someone that God loves. This person is greater than what happened between us. This person is more important than the offense that we carry. If your Bible is still open to Matthew 5, you may need to just turn one page over. But I think one of the greatest passages in the Bible, one of the greatest example of peacemaking, is found in Matthew 5 in this sermon that Jesus is preaching. In fact, several verses after when Jesus calls us to be peacemakers, in verse 23 he says this, he says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then, come and offer your gift." Jesus calls us to peacemaking in verse 9. And then in verse 23, he says, if you come to the altar of God and you remember that there's someone that you have hostility with, and you remember that there's someone in your life that you're not at peace with, if you remember there is someone that you're not speaking to or they're not speaking to you, Jesus says, if you come to the altar with a gift, you need to set that gift down, and first, you need to go. It's an action word. You need to move. You need to act. You need to work. You need to love. You need to do these acts of love. You need to seek peace and be reconciled. You need to restore that relationship, and then you come to the altar to give that gift. How many of you think that's an easy thing to do? And you may be saying, but wait, you don't understand, Pastor. Like, I understand what Jesus is saying, but what you don't understand is this has happened over and over and over and over again. And I don't know how Jesus would expect me to lay down my gift and go to someone who they continue to do this over and over and over. Pastor, you don't understand. This offense, it is not in the normal category. They didn't just lie to me. This is something that is so incredibly great. I don't understand how Jesus would ask me to do that. And the reality is there are no conditions here. Jesus doesn't say when you're coming to the altar, if you remember someone who has offended you, but if they've done that seven times, then you're fine. Go ahead and bring your gift. There's no conditions. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter who they are. Jesus says, if you remember that you don't have peace with someone, before you give, before you serve, before you worship, before you lead, before you minister, before you teach, leave that gift at the altar and go and be reconciled. But if you are thinking through this morning, that may raise another question. And the question is this: well, Pastor, what if they won't reconcile? What if I've done that? What if I've gone? What if I've worked? What if I've done acts of love? What if I have tried to make peace? And what if they won't reconcile? Am I banned from the altar forever? What do you think? If someone won't reconcile with us, are we banned from the altar forever? What do you think? Are you sure? If you're writing notes down, you might write this down. Thankfully, Jesus calls us to peace making, not peace achieving. I'm going to say that again. Thankfully, Jesus calls us, in the first service, by the way, when I said that, somebody furrowed their brow and they're like, what? Jesus calls us to peace making, not peace achieving. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Such a helpful verse in this space. Paul is writing this letter to the church in Rome. And notice what he says in Romans 12, verse 18. He says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is a wonderful verse. Talking in this space about making peace with those around us, Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And you may be saying, whew, man, praise God, because God knows I've tried. I've done my best. I've given it that college effort. I've done everything that I can do, but this joker will not return my call. They won't answer my text, so praise God, I can get back to the altar. Amen? We need to be careful here. This is a great verse. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. But we need to think about this verse in context with what Jesus is saying. And I think when you put these two together, it doesn't mean when you come to the altar and you remember someone that is at odds with you, that you just real quick send a text and say, I'm sorry. Well, they never responded, so I'm good. I don't think that's the heart of Jesus. I don't think Jesus means if you remember someone who is at odds with you, give just a little bit of effort, and if they don't respond, then you're off the hook. That's not the heart of Jesus. And I think when it says that if at all possible, as far as it depends on you, what Jesus is saying and what Paul is saying is when you come to this altar and you have your gift and you're about to give it to the Lord and you remember there is someone that you are not at peace with, then you get on your knees and you start praying, and then you go and you strive for peace, and then you pray some more, and then you work for peace, and then you pray some more, and then you do these acts of love and you pray some more. In other words, as far as it depends on you, you leave no stone unturned. You do everything that is humanly possible, knowing that only God can change their heart, but you do your part as far as it depends upon you. It doesn't matter their response. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter what they do in response to your acts of love. You go and you seek reconciliation and you strive to be a peacemaker. But thankfully, God has called us to be peacemakers and not peace achievers. So when there's hostility and there's someone in your life where peace is lacking, you do everything you can to reconcile and restore that relationship, to end the hostilities, to do what you can to bring harmony and love to that relationship, where you lay down your selfish desires, you lay down that offense, you lay down that grievance, and you work on making peace with that person. And so here is the question of the day that we all need to wrestle with. The question is this: who are you not at peace with this morning? Who are you not at peace with this morning? It may be a neighbor, it may be a coworker, it may be a good friend, it may be a fellow athlete, student, it may be somebody you know at school, it could be a family member, it could be your spouse. But if there is someone that you are not at peace with, then we need to hear the words of Jesus today. Because he speaks into that space and says, it's not okay to come to the altar with your gift when you know that you are not at peace with someone. Because my children, the sons of God, the followers of Christ, are those who come to the altar, and as they're about to kneel down and lay their gift down to the Lord, they remember a relationship that is not right. They remember a relationship that is strained, a relationship that has hostility. And my children, my sons, they lay that gift down and they go as far as it depends upon them. They go to that person and they do everything they can to reconcile and to make peace. And Jesus says, for those are the ones who are called the sons of the living God. And so the question today is, who are you not at peace with? And if you're a child of God, you claim to follow Christ, you've put your faith in Jesus, Jesus says your life should be different. Jesus says your heart should be different. And I want to encourage you and call you today, as we follow the God of peace, as we have trusted our lives to the Prince of Peace, that we consider who it is in our lives that we are not at peace with. And we acknowledge before God that is not okay. And I want to call you to lay down your gift and go and make peace. Let's pray. With your heads bowed this morning, I just want to ask the question, and everybody's heads are bowed, this is between you and the Lord. But if you know there is someone in your life right now that you are not at peace with, you just raise your hand and acknowledge that before the Lord this morning. Thank you. All over the sanctuary. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, honestly, there are times when we hear the word of the living God that we begin to wrestle with the reality of what the Word of God says and the reality of what our lives look like. Lord, I want to thank you this morning that you are a God of mercy, you are a God of grace, you are a God of forgiveness. Because, Lord, we need that so desperately this morning. Because of sin in our lives, in the lives of others, we have hostility with people that we love, and most importantly, Lord, that you love. And you've called us to be like your Son, Jesus Christ, to be about reconciliation and restoration. And so, Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts like never before, to be careful to claim to be children of the living God and not to be involved in peacemaking. Because, Lord, you said that my sons, my children, my followers seek peace. So, Lord, help us to set that gift down. And give us a heart for peace this morning. Give us a desire to love someone so deeply that we're willing to sacrifice everything like you did, for the sake of peace. Lord, we need you this morning. And we thank you this morning for reconciling us, sinful, rebellious children, to the heart of the God of peace. Lord, thank you for being a peacemaker for us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. And I ask you to stand this morning. Bo's going to lead us in worship. We're just going to spend some time with the Lord. This altar will be open. I'll be here to pray with you. Let's begin to do business with the Lord and listen to His voice in our life. Let's worship.
Victory.
King of love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross he made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake. And the veil was torn. What a sacrifice was made as the heavens roared. All hail King Jesus.
Jesus, all will the Lord of heaven.
Beatitudes are kind of tough, aren't they? Let me say that again. The Beatitudes are kind of tough, aren't they? There is no more godlike work that we can do in this world than peacemaking. And when we reconcile with others, we are pointing to a God of reconciliation. Amen. As you go from this place, may God give you a desire for peace. And may we pursue that as sons of God. You're dismissed.